stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick. And this week, I'm joined by Zach's Director of ETF Research, Nina Mishra, to talk about what are the best S&P 500 index ETFs to buy right now. This is a question I know a lot of people have. You might be new to investing, or you just might want to do index investing and you keep hearing, oh, just buy the S&P 500. But then you look around and there's a bunch of ETFs that are the S&P 500. Which ones should you buy? What's the differences between them? Are there any differences? And so I brought Nina on this week to talk about it all. And for those of you who are listening, we are going to be showing some of the information about the holdings and what these ETFs look like on the video podcast. So be sure to check that out at zacks.com/YouTube on our YouTube page. But for everyone else who's listening, we are going to talk all about it. So welcome, Nina.
Hi, Tracy. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I do feel like this is kind of a basic topic, but sometimes we do have to start just at the basics.
And yeah, basic like education is very important.
Right. And you and I have talked about these various S&P 500 ETFs over the years, like the new ones that have been coming out, why money has rotated out of the older versions of this into these newer products. And so some new ones have launched in recent years. So even I get confused, which is why I always tap you for this knowledge. So let's start off with like the basics. So there was an original one of these that launched an ETF, the SPDR S&P 500 Index, which is the ticker SPY. And that's the one I always kind of refer back to because I just remember it always being the one. So what's going on with that one? Is everybody still in it? What's the situation with the oldest one?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, SPY is the oldest ETF. It is the largest ETF. It has close to $500 billion in assets. So that's massive, but it charges 9 basis points. And Vanguard and iShares, BlackRock, they have ETFs that track the same index, the S&P 500 index, and they are much cheaper. So the one by Vanguard, VOO, that also charges 3 basis points, and the one by iShares, that also charges 3 basis points. So compare 9 basis points to 3 basis points, that was much cheaper. So many investors, particularly long-term focused investors, they started using VOO and IVV in their portfolios. And that is why these ETFs were gathering a lot of assets and SPY was losing some assets. Now, because the market has gone up so much, so that is why SPY is still huge, close to $500 billion, as I mentioned. But VOO now has close to $423 billion in assets, and IVV has $432 billion in assets. So these two have gathered a lot of assets from long-term focused buy and hold investors, mainly because of the ultra-low expense ratio, and you're getting exposure to the same index. They both have, all three of them track the same index, so you get basically get similar performance, and since the performance is the index performance minus the fees. So over the long term, VOO and IVV will deliver a slightly better performance than SPY because of the lower expense ratio. Now, SPY is still used a lot by traders because of its excellent liquidity. In fact, State Street had published an excellent paper on their website. So if you go on the website, they have some details about SPY's liquidity and why it is so, this ETF is preferred by traders because the execution costs are so low. So SPY is still favored by traders and institutional investors who want to, you know, quickly move in and out of the market. But since VOO and IVV were gathering a lot of assets, so State Street did a smart thing 2 years back, and they changed the index of one of their large cap tracking ETF. So let me go to the quote page on Zacks.com. And so this is SPLG, Spider Portfolio S&P 500 ETF. And this is now the cheapest S&P 500 tracking ETF. And in fact, you can use the link on our quote page and go to State Street webpage for this ETF. So this charges just 2 basis points, and this has about 33 billion in assets. Now, if you look at the fact sheet, it tells you what it was tracking earlier. So prior to January 2020, this was known as the Spider Portfolio Large Cap ETF, and this was tracking a slightly different large cap index. So they just changed the index of this ETF and made it the lowest cost S&P 500 tracking ETF. So you're getting exposure to the same companies, same weights, and at a cost of just 2 basis points, which is like basically nothing.
On those holdings, it's showing Microsoft at 7% is the largest. Apple is number 2. Then you have Nvidia, then Amazon, then Meta, then Alphabet. It's reading off the Mag 7 right there. Then Berkshire Hathaway stuck in there. And then the second version of Alphabet, the other ticker, then Eli Lilly, and then Broadcom are the top holdings. So this holdings list will be the same on all of these ETFs that you just mentioned.
They will be the same. They will be the same weights. And as you can see, Tesla has fallen out of top 10 and no longer called the Mag 7. But yeah, right. Any of these ETFs you buy, the S&P 500 tracking ETFs, whether you buy SPY or VOO, IVV or SPLG, you will get the same kind of exposure. So for longer term focused investors, it makes a lot of sense to buy SPLG. You can even look at VOO or IVV. They are larger than SPLG, but if 33 billion is not a small amount, so basically you will get the similar kind of bid-ask spread for SPLG, same as VOO or IVV. SPY is a different category altogether as far as trading costs are concerned. I understand, there's not a whole lot of difference between 2 basis points and 3 basis points. But if you're investing for the long term, and if you have a lot of money to invest too, if your portfolio is large enough and you're investing for 10, 20 years, why not save that 1 basis point too? Just invest in SPLG.
Yeah. Is there any on the performance on this one? I know SPLG just launched, you said, in 2020. So we don't yet have like a 5-year performance on it with this tracking the S&P 500 part of it. Do they have a 3-year? Is there any way we could compare like VOO and this one SPLG over a 3-year period to kind of see what the difference is? Because I do think you'd see the basis points even in, it would take more than a year, even though it would show up even in a year.
Yeah, it would take more than 1 basis point. Probably it would take more than 3 years too, because in the chart, the difference would be so small. But let's take a look.
Yeah, I just wondered if it could show us, you know, what the difference is. Because I think a lot of people don't even think about the cost. They're just like, oh, this is the biggest one, or, you know, everybody's in the VOO. We won't even call it by its name. It's always just the ticker on these. And so if everyone else owns this one, I should too. And, oh, those expenses or whatever that is don't really matter. But they do. If you're going to own it, as you said, for 10, 20, 30 years, it starts to add up even just that one basis point. So
right. So I'm looking at the two-year performance here. Basically, they are showing the same performance because the difference in fees is so small that it doesn't show up. But if I remove SPLG, because SPLG changed its index just about 2 years back, and let's take a look at the longer-term performance. Let's go back. And well, they're all very, very close. It's not visible on the chart.
That's over 10 years?
That's over 10 years. So that's not showing on the chart because these are all so close. But yeah, the other two would have a tiny bit better performance. Over the longer term, it would show up in your portfolios. If you own both SPY and VOO and you look at the performance after 10 years, it will show.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a big difference, you know, between 0.09 and 0.03 over the long haul. A lot of these, the S&P 500 pays a dividend. And what is it yielding right now? 1.3% is what I have. Is that right?
Yes, 1.3%, 1.4%, something like that.
Okay. So all of these, just to be clear, they're all going to pay the same dividend because they're tracking the same stocks.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Your performance would be pretty much similar over the shorter term. Over the longer term, it's going to vary a little bit.
Okay. And another thing I hear about when I talk with people about S&P 500 indexes is this difference between the market cap and then equal weight. What does that mean? And what is the difference? Why do I care?
Yeah, so because all these Magnificent Seven, or now if you want to call them Fabulous Four or Fantastic Six or whatever, because these companies have done so well over the past, not only this year, last year, but over the past decade or so. So that is why the weights of these companies in the market cap weighted ETF has gone up a lot. So these account for more than 30% of the portfolio in the S&P 500 tracking ETFs. And that has concerned some investors and experts. So we have been hearing that this has become too top heavy and these stocks have become too expensive. So the rally is going to broaden out. So that is why it makes sense to reduce exposure to these mega cap stocks and equally weight all the 500 companies in the index. So that is why the equal weighted S&P 500 ETF, the ticker symbol is RSP. So let me go to the code page on Zacks.com and show the ETF. So this is Invesco S&P 500 equal weight ETF. So at the time of rebalancing, all these 500 companies will be assigned equal weights in the portfolio. Now, this also has been around for about 20 years. And this is expensive because of this specialized weighting scheme, where at the time of rebalancing, all these are brought to equal weights. You can go to Invesco webpage for this ETF and learn more about this ETF. Let's look at the portfolio. It will show all those holdings and equal weights. So these are
right. So there really isn't like a top 10 on this portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah. So everything is assigned equal weight. And since its inception, it had outperformed the S&P 500 index, but I noticed that most of that outperformance came earlier in its life. So if you look at RSP versus SPY.
And how old is this one? You said it goes back
it is
a long
about
time.
20 years.
Wow. Old.
So if you look at its performance since inception, so more than 20 years old, inception probably was April 2003, you will see that it has slightly outperformed, very slightly, but you will see that most of that outperformance came earlier. So if you look at the recent performance, last 10 years or so,
so when the MAG
it has,
7, yeah.
Yeah, so over the past decade or so, you will see that all the these, because mega cap companies have been doing well. So over the past 10 years, you will see that the market cap weighted ETF has significantly outperformed the equal weighted ETF over the past 20 years. The outperformance, as you saw, was very little, and that is because of mid-cap and smaller cap companies, not smaller cap, mid-cap companies probably doing a little bit better than the mega caps earlier in RSP's history. So it remains to be seen whether these mega caps can continue to do well. And maybe the investing world has changed because these companies have become so important in our lives. And these are cash generating machines. So their profit margins are so high compared to other companies, other mid-sized companies. So it remains to be seen whether these companies will continue to do well, and the broadening of the rally that everyone keeps talking about, whether that is going to happen or not, because so far we have seen that broadening takes place for a few weeks and then investors start piling back in those mega caps again. So it's really a big question. I would say that it's better to hold market cap weighted ETFs in your core portfolio for the longer term, because in that case, you are basically going with the market's wisdom. When you are using the equal weighting, you're basically trying to time the market. You are saying that, okay, it's time that mid-sized companies, slightly smaller companies are going to beat the mega caps now. So you're trying to time the market, and we know that market timing rarely works. RSP can be used as a trading tool in the portfolio if you believe that it is time for mid-sized companies in the S&P 500 index to shine. Then you can use RSP as a trading tool in your portfolio. But for longer term holding, I would recommend the market cap weighted ETFs. They are so much cheaper too, and again, they are you're just going with the market's wisdom, and we should follow Warren Buffett's advice. Yeah, right. Buffett always recommends that for most investors, it is advisable to just hold an S&P 500 tracking fund.
Yeah, he did. He said once he's gone, he recommends that the people helping his wife with the investments that, you know, he's going to leave behind, simply put it in an S&P 500 fund and leave it there. So yeah, he recommends it, just not for himself, because he does believe he can beat it. And look at Berkshire. It's in the top 10 holdings of the S&P 500 now. And I'm wondering if, you know, Berkshire Hathaway shouldn't be added to the Magnificent Seven now that it's ousted Tesla, a revenge of the old economy in there,
of
returning
course.
In there.
Yeah, yeah. So Warren Buffett also had that famous bet where he said that the S&P 500 index will outperform hedge funds also over a period of 10 years or so, something like that.
Yeah, I think it was
and
10.
And he won.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won that bet and he donated that amount to charity. So yes, it's very difficult to beat the S&P 500, the only index which has been able to beat the S&P 500 index over the long term is the Invesco QQQ. The NASDAQ 100 index. So if you have a higher risk tolerance, maybe you can look at QQQ or QQQM. But for most investors, I think it makes sense to hold one of the S&P 500 ETF, ultra cheap ETF in their core portfolios for the longer term.
Yeah. I never thought about, you know, buying the market cap S&P 500 was basically making a bet on what the market has chosen as the winners. So the market has clearly chosen Microsoft, Apple, Alphabet as winners. And so they are heavily weighted in the S&P 500 now. And that is what you're buying. You're buying the ones that the market has chosen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So in conclusion, wrapping it up for this just kind of basic podcast that we're doing, but this is always good information, is the cheapest one is the Spider Portfolio S&P 500 ETF, and its ticker S as in Sam, P as in Paul, L as in Larry, G as in George. And that expense ratio is just 0.02. And then after that, we have the Vanguard S&P 500 ETF, the V as in Victor, OO. That is 0.03%. And then the iShares Core S&P 500 ETF, the ticker there is I, V as in Victor, V as in Victor, IVV. And that is 0.03%. And then if you're trading, you tend to go towards the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY, S as in Sam, P as in Paul, Y. And you could do the equal weight if you're trading or making a bet that way. And that is R as in Robert, S as in Sam, P as in Paul. And then you said there's a new one, one more kind of newish one out there. What is the other one that is kind of making a splash?
So if you want to look at a zero expense ratio ETF, BNY Mellon has one for you. So let me go to the code page. So
this zero is, expenses. How do they make money? I want to know.
So this is a loss leader for them.
Okay.
They are not earning any fees on this ETF, but it is basically to attract investors to their platform. And so they launched a couple of zero fee ETF, this large cap ETF and a bond ETF. So let's take a look at this large cap ETF by going to the code page on Zacks.com. The ticker symbol is BKLC. And if you can, use the link and go to
I immediately see it does not say S&P 500 in its title. So
yes.
It's so not an S&P 500.
No. So this is a large cap ETF which tracks an index which is pretty similar to the S&P 500 index, but no, it's not the same index. So if you look at the portfolio and fees is zero, it has about 2 billion in assets. Look at the portfolio, you will see similar holdings, but it is not an S&P 500 ETF. So you get exposure to the same companies and almost the similar weight, but this is not an S&P 500 ETF.
Okay, but someone might be lured in by the zero fees.
Yeah, it's been doing well. It has been able to attract $2 billion in assets so far. But SPLG is 33 billion and 2 basis points. So why not just go with the S&P 500 tracking ETF? Because this ETF, we know it, the index is slightly different. They may change the index at another stage. So this may not be very similar to S&P 500. So if you want to be safe and just stay with the S&P 500 index, just go with SPLG.
Okay. Okay, so we'll add on BKLC is the ticker for the BNY Mellon U.S. Large Cap ETF. And it's B as in boy, K as in Kathy, L as in Larry, C as in cat. All right, so that's a lot of choices, but really kind of not. If you're looking for the low expense ratio, there is only one that's really in there, other than zero, but it's not a true S&P 500 fund. So if you want to stay true to the S&P 500, SPLG is the one with the lowest expense ratio. All right. Thank you, Nina, for coming on this week, explaining this very important topic, because we all do kind of own the S&P 500. We might want to put it in our IRAs, our Roth IRAs, and we don't really know, you know, which one is the best one to buy. So this was very helpful. And if you want to see or listen to more podcasts like this, be sure to subscribe. You can subscribe on Zach's Investment Research on YouTube to get all of the Market Edge video podcasts, but also get all of our audio podcasts as well. We're still doing those the old-fashioned way, just audio, over on Zach's podcast page on YouTube as well. And Nina's podcast is there on ETFs every week, as well as the Value Investor podcast. So you don't want to miss either one of those, but be sure to get us somewhere, and we'll see you again next time with some more stocks and ETFs.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zach's Investment Research as a whole.